Welcome to my stories and journeys in the old county of Gwent. The vernal equinox, the balance point of light and darkness, has passed, and we've come around from our time in the northeast of Gwent to the town of Monmouth in the east. The year has tipped over and is springing onwards into the light, and the clocks have sprung forward too. And bounding her way comes the Rambler. No longer a little child with a magical unicorn, but a teenage girl on a galloping horse. And here she comes, galloping in along a racetrack, or what was once a racetrack years ago, in across Chippenham Fields and Two Rivers Meadow, on the outskirts of the town, where for 150 years or so, thoroughbreds and ponies competed in sweepstakes and steeplechases and handicaps. And the old race cards tell us how around and around ran Harmony and Moll Quickly and Peggy Greavesme and Miss Ellen and Harefoot and Martini, the place, the winners and the also-rans. They ran so hard and so long and to such huge crowds that the river itself was rerouted from its course just to make a little more space. And while the Rambler girl does her best to keep pace with the ghostly hoofbeats of the riders still cantering on the long-ago track through Two Rivers Meadow, we're going to turn our attention to the rivers themselves, and these are the Wye and the Monnow. And up till now, we've been mostly in and around the Monnow Valley, but of course the Wye is a much longer, bigger river. And there's a story about the birth and the journey of the Wye, which I'm going to tell you in full in the next episode. But today, I'll just say that for her journey, the Wye chose a wandering path and the path of beauty. And I'm going to talk to one of the best people I can think of about that path of beauty and the trials it's facing. I'm going to talk to the wild woman of the Wye, Angela Jones. Now, all rivers have the ability, I think, to gather their clans to their side, animals, plants, trees, rocks, and people. Down-to-earth practical people whose lives are built around the water, and the ones who are harder to glimpse except in stories, river mermaids and river saints and so on. Ordinary and extraordinary people of flesh and blood who are drawn to the river. And I think Angela is one of those people. So here she is, this beautiful April morning, with her little dog Junior, where the two rivers meet, just at the far end of the meadow. Oh, and I should just say that there are three little bumps in what you're about to hear, where the river brings us three little surprises, one of which we didn't want to see, and two of which are a delight.
This is one of my favourite sections of the Wye, but all 155 miles are. I can hear the birds singing, and I can see the beauty of this place. This is my river, this is my patch. It's always been part of my life. For 40 odd years I've been swimming it, sleeping on its banks and enjoying its beauty, and particularly below the surface. You know, I love the aquatic life. But unfortunately, as we all know, it has changed out of all recognition now. And I always see the beauty in everything, but I know exactly what is going on in this river in front of us. And it's a hard one, because you want to embrace it and enjoy it, you know, and then when we think of really what is going on, I've seen a huge increase in the last 7 years of swimming and being on this river. We've got over 24 million chickens on this river now. I come from a farming family. My son is still a farmer, but what they're doing is intensive poultry. That manure is going on the land, it's coming into our water, phosphate overloading, ammonia overloading, and then of course we've got our fabulous not-for-profit Welsh Water that is throwing it in as well. So this river, like many others, are used as open sewers.
Hang on a sec.
Yeah.
So we've got floating, I would say that's some type of pollution coming down there now. That's not good at all. You know, if you can look up there, can you see it coming down there? Just blobs of it. And if we go further down there, a few hundred metres, that's where Wysham's sewage treatment plant is that pumps in. And not so long ago, I put a post out of there showing the sewage going into the water. And I was told by our regulators that that was treated effluent and it wasn't affecting the ecosystem. And it was a breakdown of leaves. So I took it, got the lab testing it, and they grew the E. coli for me, and it was 169 times the safe limit of E. coli in that water. So, you know, it's down to the public to show exactly what's going on in this river. But it is such a shame, because our future generations that are coming up behind us, you know, they deserve water, they deserve to look at the wildlife, but above all that, nature deserves that respect. They class me as a wild swimmer, environmentalist, but I can honestly say I do struggle with the term wild swimmer, because so many people who use this river and use the rivers around the UK and say, oh, I can't go in the river, it's polluted, it's affecting my health. Well, if we all do something about it and put the river first before us, the health of the river complements our health. So we're secondary to that. You know, I've lost 95% of my business. I haven't taken anybody into the Y for probably 10, 11 months now, because I test it. And if it doesn't reach that quality, I don't take people in there.
Well, in some countries, there's been a successful move to have the rights of rivers instated as if the river is a living being.
Mm. And it is. You know, it's, if you look at the veins on your body, they're pumping blood through your arteries to keep you alive. These rivers are life. Our life wouldn't be here without their life. When you go below the surface as well and you see the aquatic life, my favourite thing, when the salmon come up to spawn, they go into certain salmon pools to rest and whatever. And I used to go into those salmon pools and I get to see those beautiful fish, and I might get slapped in the face, and I can taste them before I actually get down deep. And the water crowfoot, which used to blanket this river, I would go underneath that, hold on to a rock where there's strong current, and I would get the eels and things going over the top of me, and like my hair would sway into the water crowfoot. And that used to be so beautiful. And we've lost, we're looking at 95-99% of the water crowfoot, and that is an aquatic plant that's protected. If I rip that out, I get fined thousands of pounds. Yet we allow pollution to completely destroy that. And that is our lungs of the river. And that's what gives it the protected status that the Y and the Esk have.
What would you say are the most important things that people can do once they realise or become concerned about the Y, the Mono, or any of their local rivers?
Firstly, we can all do something from our own home. The chemicals that we're using, the dog treatment, we know spot on is our fifth biggest polluter in this river, which is what we put on the back of our dogs and our cat's neck. One drop of that is equivalent to killing 40, 50 million bees on land. That was banned in farming, that pesticide, 5 years ago, but still the vets are using it. There's over 300 different products that you can use. And that is on our website. If you want to go into savetheriverest.org, we've got over 300. So we can watch out what we're putting down our sinks, because whatever goes in that sink comes out in our river. Then regarding the river, we can all write to our MPs and our MSs. They are there to represent you. And you'll get a stand letter back. But when I'm in Westminster, I'm talking to MPs and they say, that's the number one thing that our constituents are asking about. You know, that's what we can do there. We can report pollution as well. And we can share with everybody the awareness of what's actually going on in our rivers.
I wonder if that's something that affects people as well, just learning or realising for the first time the extent of pollution of something so basic as water. People feel overwhelmed?
They do. Yeah, they do. They don't know what to do. They feel it's too big to take on. But just think of your home. Save your rainwater for your garden. You know, water is life. I mean, we're in the beginning of April and the river level is so low, we're going to have big problems because we're extracting this. In the end of the day, whatever goes on in the river comes through into our taps as well. So agriculture is our biggest problem on the Wye, and that needs to be addressed, because 7 years I've been on this and I've sat at so many talks and heard so many deadlines come and go, and the can just keeps kicking down the line, nothing happens. But we know with Welsh water as well, you know, if the regulators had teeth and did their job and were allowed to do their job, it'd be a different matter. But this all comes from government. So it comes from the top. So legislation, and there was a law passed on February the 25th, and I sit on a members group, and we put a bill together, and that was passed in Parliament by the MPs, where any of the water bosses will not get their bonuses if sewerage is being released. But because the regulator works closely with the water companies, they're saying that the pollution incidents aren't out there. So when we go and say, look, this is our findings, even if it's come from a lab and it's scientific, they're still dismissing them. So that means that unless we get that happening, you know, those bonuses will continue being given, because the regulators are saying that there isn't a problem in our rivers. And even there was a report sent to me yesterday from Natural Resource Wales from this river to say that it is recovering and it's getting better.
Do you think it is?
No, I know for sure it's not getting any better. You know, from the results that we're doing, from, you know, I've been doing water crowfoot surveys on the whole of the Esk, on the Wye. I'd love to think it was, but no, they have to say that because they get more funding and keeps everyone happy. But we know from the incidents that we've had along this river, Natural Resource Wales are just totally incompetent. I have two children, and I vowed when I brought those children into the world to always protect them. And I feel exactly the same about the Wye River and the other river that's on my doorstep, which is the Esk River. And I feel by linking up all of the different campaigners and bringing awareness to our rivers, we get so much stronger.
So we've just seen an elva, one single elva swim by. It's such a beautiful sight. It's about, I don't know, about 6 inches long.
It's so refreshing to see an elva, because I'm fascinated with eels. Most people think they're slimy, but you think, you know, that elva could live up to 100 years old. Oh my God, look at it swimming by us. Oh, that is stunning. See, when I say about keeping the beauty in everything, it's so, so important, because campaigners, I'm hard on this. I'm out there 40 hours a week with data and volunteers and giving talks. But you always have to keep that beauty, because as soon as you lose the beauty in what you love, you become bitter. And I've seen so many campaigners over the years, and they're like really aggressive and they shout and they get really bitter in their own lives. And I'll never do that, because I have different boxes for different things. I know there's pollution, I'm dealing with it. And people say, do you think you'll ever see it change, and do you think it'll ever, you know, be any, and I never consider that. I will campaign until it is changed, and it will change. I never doubt that it won't. So maybe I won't see that in my lifetime, but I will just campaign until the end. And then when we see the beauty of a little elva going past like that, and you think, oh, they're just the most amazing creatures. We need to teach our children to respect what's around them. Nature has a way, you know, it has big arms to put around everybody. It's inclusive to everybody. And all my life, you know, it's been It's been part of my life. You know, in school, I remember I used to get my mark and then jump out the window and run off into the woods and sleep out. And I used to just love being out there. And I remember my careers teacher saying, "Angela, what do you want to do when you leave school?" And I said, I just want to be in nature.
When you were a teenager, what rivers were you swimming in?
Well, it would have been this one, and it would have been the Usk River. But I didn't even know the name of this river because, like I say, I'm dyslexic. I've never read a book before. I remember just wandering on this one, and it gave me a warm feeling in my heart that I'd never had from anything in life. And then I came away from it, and every time I came back to it, it kept giving me that feeling, and I couldn't understand what it was. And it might sound cheesy to people or strange, but it really did. And it didn't matter where I went, every time I came back, it always had that warm feeling and embracing feeling, but it had excitement. And this river gives you everything. So it's calm and serene in sections, and in other sections it throws you around like a washing machine. And the wildlife is so different. I have a bat detector, I monitor the otters, and I sleep along different sections of the Wye. And a lot of the landowners and everything have got to know me over the years. And I remember one night sleeping up in Glasebury, and I was in a little bivvy bag, and it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was all rolled up with the dog. We did 5 weeks where we kayaked down, and then we walked up, and then we swam down. And I remember a poke, and somebody said, you're all right. I remember getting my head out of this little bivvy bag, and I said, yeah, I'm fine. And this person was kayaking down, and he'd seen this bag on the side, and he thought I was dead, so he poked me. And it's so strange, because ever since, that person has been a good friend of mine, and if we're kayaking or we're talking to people and they say, "Oh, how do you know Angela?" And he said, "Well, I thought it was a dead body on the side, and then I realised it was the wild woman of the Wye, and this is what she did." And that really tickled me. So
you have many forms.
I do, yeah. I can stand on the stage and I can say what's happening and share data and be powerful. I'm speaking in university next week, and I'm back up at Westminster, and then I can be that calm, serene person who just is on her own, solo. I can go for weeks on the river. Little minnows down there. So a kingfisher will dive, and it eats about 8 minnows a day. A beautiful little fish. Just, you can see the reflection of the sun just capturing them as they go past. Can you see them all over there? See, Christine, and over there now. Oh yeah. So they went past us.
Yeah.
And you think posh people, who think they're posh, would pay a fortune to have them in a little glass case nibbling at their toes. And you get it all here.
Well, afterwards I walked back across Two Rivers Meadow. And there was no sign of the Rambler on her galloping horse. Harmony and Martini seemed to have quit the field, and Miss Ellen and Peggy Greavesme had declared a photo finish. In the middle of the meadow, the chestnut tree, not in leaf yet, was stood with a perfect circle of bright celandines beneath it like a golden shadow, and both the rivers were flowing on. Next episode, I'll follow the wandering River Wye on down the valley, and I'll share some of the strange stories that the river has gathered as she flows, and we'll see if we can catch up with the Rambler, though I suspect she's a good few miles ahead already. Thank you for keeping me company, and I'll see you later on down the track.